Turn to Proverbs 6:23. I'm going to cover two verses tonight. I plan to, anyway. I planned to last time and only got through one, but I'm pretty sure we'll get through two. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So let's look at the first phrase there in this proverb. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. So the commandment and the law are both synonyms for the scriptures, which are the word of God. And you probably know this, but I'll just show you a few verses here, which show us that the commandment and the law are both names that the scriptures in general go by. Numbers 15, verse 31. I want to establish this before we move on, because then we'll be able to apply this fact to the remainder of the verse. Numbers 15 and verse 31. "Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him." So you see there that the word of the Lord is his commandment. So when it says, "For the commandment is a lamp," you could substitute in, "The word of the Lord is a lamp." And in Psalm 119 and verse 172, it says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." So the word, thy word, and thy commandments are one and the same thing. And then let's look at Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 19. And this one, I believe, is going to show us that the law is likewise, or that the Lord's word is referred to as his law as well. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 19. "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom." This is the king that would be instated, and he was supposed to do the following: "That he shall write him a copy of this law in a book of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." So he was to write a copy of the law, it said, the copy of this law in a book, and then he was to do so to be able to keep all the words of the law in these statutes. So the law is the word of God. And one more, Micah 4 and verse 2. This might be just slightly overkill, but at least you'll know that the commandment and the law are the word of God, if you already didn't know that, which you probably did. There's actually probably about six or seven things in Psalm 119 that are referred to as the law of God. The law, the word, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments, testimonies. So at least that many. Counsel. So yeah, many, many things the law of God goes by. Micah 4. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah 4 and verse 2. "And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." This is one of those Hebrew parallelisms that's all through the Old Testament. The law shall go forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion is Jerusalem. The law is the word of the Lord. A commandment is an authoritative order or injunction, a precept given by authority, and then especially it is a divine command, which is what we're looking at here. And then a law is a rule or rule of conduct imposed by authority, the body of rules, whether proceeding from formal enactment or from custom, which a particular state or community recognizes as binding on its members or subjects. In this sense, usually, the law. also in early use, a code or system of rules of this kind. So basically, commandments and laws are things that come from God to tell us what to do or what not to do, essentially. And that's what a lot of his word is. Some of his word is history, some of it's philosophy, but a lot of it is just telling you, do this and don't do that. And if you do this, I'll reward you, and if you do that, I'll punish you. Right? Those are laws and commandments. So the word of God, which is the scripture, is a spiritual lamp that gives light so that we can, number one, see God's will for our lives, number two, see our sin, number three, see the nature of the world around us, and number four, see how that we can live in the world around us. So there's four things that the commandment is a lamp and the law is light too. Let me just repeat them again. By using God's word, we can see God's will for our lives, because we wouldn't know what God's will is for our lives if we didn't have the scripture. We wouldn't be able to see that. So God's word is like a light which allows us to see what God's word is, a light that allows us to see his will for our lives. Secondly, the word of God is a light which shines a light on our sin and lets us see it. Paul said in Romans 7:7 that I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So there were certain sins that Paul didn't even recognize, didn't know that he was committing until the law came along and pointed it out to him. And we probably, I'm sure, we have all experienced this before, that we were doing something in our lives, either pre-conversion or post-conversion, that all of a sudden we read a Bible verse and realize that we've been wrong, right? We've been going against God's law, and a lot of times we didn't even know it. That's what the Word of God is. It's a light that exposes and shines a light on our sin. It shines a light on the nature of the world around us, because we could see the world around us in the sense of events and history and things like that. We can see things that are happening, but we're not going to be able to see the nature of the world around us without the scripture. It shines a light in that dark place. And we can understand that men are depraved. And because men are depraved, that's why there's this evil in the world. And that's why things are happening the way they are. And that there's a devil out there. And that the devil is at war with God. And he's trying to overthrow God and overthrow his kingdom. And so we can see the nature of the world. The things kind of, it's almost like pulling the curtain back, where we can see what is happening behind the scenes that you wouldn't see if you didn't have the scripture. If you were just a naturalist, materialist, and I mean materialist not in the American sense, a materialist in the philosophical sense, where you believe that the only thing in the world is material things, right? That there is no spiritual realm, you wouldn't understand what's going on. You couldn't. It'd be hard to make sense of why the world is the way it is. So the scripture is a light that exposes that. And then finally, it's a light and a lamp which exposes how we ought to live in this world. Because we likewise wouldn't know how God wants us to live, especially. We could philosophize about it, and we could figure out ways that, you know, if I do this, things go pretty well, and if I do this, things go pretty badly, so if I live more like this, life is going to go better for me. Anybody can kind of figure that out. But we wouldn't really know how to live in order to please God, and we wouldn't know the best way to live. So the word of the Lord shines a light on that too. So those four things, at least, are four things that the Word of God is a light that shows us the way in. A lamp is a vessel containing oil, which is burnt at a wick for the purpose of illumination, as if you didn't know. Now also a vessel of glass or some similar material enclosing the source of illumination, whether a candle, oil, gas jet, or incandescent wire. So when it says that the commandment is a lamp, in other words, it's like a flashlight, right? It's something that generates light and allows you to see. And then it says the law is light, and light is the natural agent or influence which, emanating from the sun, bodies intensely heated or burning, and various other sources, evokes the functional activity of the organ of sight. It is viewed as the medium of visual perception generally, also the condition of space in which light is present and in which, therefore, vision is possible. It's opposed to darkness. So when it says the law is light, the law makes things perceptible. That's what light does. If you walk into a pitch black room, all the stuff is there, but it's not perceptible because there's no light. You can't see it. But when you have light, then all of a sudden you can see the things that are there. And that's exactly what I was saying a minute ago. The world's here, and you know, there's all kinds of things happening that we wouldn't really be able to see or understand if it weren't for the scripture to tell us what's really happening. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 105 that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 119 and verse 105. And I think a lot of us probably take this for granted that we have God's word. We have a revelation. That's what the Bible's called. We have a revelation from God revealing things to us that we could not know outside of it and telling us things that the average person out there doesn't know and doesn't understand. And that's a huge blessing to have the God who created everything tell us how the world works, tell us about ourselves, tell us why we're in the mess we're in, tell us how we're going to get out of the mess that we're in, and that's why what Jesus did for us, tell us what's waiting for us. All those things we wouldn't know about. And God could have saved us and not told us about those things. Right? We could have heaven waiting for us and never know what heaven is or never had any concept of it whatsoever until we finally got there. God could have done it that way, but he didn't. So we've had a blessing, a major blessing, knowing those things in our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just think of the advantage if you are hiking, you got two guys hiking on a trail through the woods and it's pitch black. It's an overcast day with a new moon, totally pitch black. One guy's got a flashlight, one doesn't. Mm-hmm. Who's going to have a better walk through the woods? Who's going to get where he's going to? Who's going to not end up with a bruised knee and a busted open forehead? Right? The guy with the lamp, right? The guy with the light. So we have a real blessing here with the Word of God.
So it's almost like God is the manufacturer of something, and he gives the consumer the manual so that the consumer will know how to use the product that the manufacturer has manufactured.
That's exactly right. And the thing that he manufactured is the world, and the manual is the Bible. That's exactly right. Somebody has coined the idea that the Bible means basic instruction before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving Earth.
No. It makes it sound like the military.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your user's manual for life.
Yes, that's right. You've probably heard people say whenever they have kids, they're like, it'd be nice if, you know, if kids just come with a manual. Mm-hmm. They do. Right here. They do come with a manual. Tells you how to do it. May not give you all the fine details, but it tells you enough where you can figure it out and get them through life. And other people can help you that have been there before with all the diaper changing stuff that the Bible doesn't tell you about. So when God's words enter into our minds, they give us light and understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So light is often referred to as understanding. Have you ever somebody hears something and what do they say? The light bulb went off, right? I see, right? That's what they say. They see because light's been shed on it. Right? The light bulb went off. So knowing the scriptures, in other words, enables us to understand the world. And that's really what the purpose of philosophy is. Really, philosophy, when you get down to it, philosophers have been for thousands of years trying to understand the world. They've been trying to understand the way things are. And the Bible is, in that sense, a book of philosophy. It explains to us the way things actually are. And it explains other things that we could not figure out through philosophy. Just by observing the world around us and the material creation that we couldn't figure out, it tells us those things too. But it also tells us the way things actually are. And that's what I love about the Bible, and I love about God's true religion, is it explains the world the way that it actually is. And it makes sense of, for instance, when it comes to salvation, it makes sense of the fact that you can preach the same exact message to two different people. And one of them, it's the best thing they've ever heard. And they're completely affected by it. And their life is changed by it. And they love it. And they can't get enough of it. And the other guy, and maybe he even grew up with the same parents, they're siblings. It could be twin siblings, right? They grew up with the same parents, the same, everything is identical. And they hear the same exact message. And to one of them, it totally changes their life. And the other one, it's, they don't even care about it, or they're irritated by it, or they don't even want to hear it. And why is that? Because it doesn't make any sense. Humanistically speaking, naturalistically speaking, why would that be the case? Why wouldn't everybody receive that information the same way? The Bible makes sense of that, because God chooses some to salvation and some not to salvation, and the message of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And I remember, I probably told you this before, but I remember sharing that fact with my uncle who's a preacher. I said that sovereign grace to me makes the world make sense, and I gave him that example. And I know I've told you this before, probably, you might have forgotten, but a look is worth a thousand words, and just the look on his face just said, you're right, I know you're right, but I can't go there. I kid you not. I mean, the look on his face literally said that. It was crazy. It was weird. And I didn't say another word. But anyway. But the Bible makes the world make sense.
It's sad because he probably has so much invested in where he is right now.
Yep.
He just couldn't. He couldn't fathom.
Yep.
Going there.
Yeah, I mean, when you've preached at a church for 40-some years, and then you find out you were wrong, and to change your mind is pretty hard to do.
And he was probably able to blow it off and kind of put it
probably
back there and just go on down the road and give it no more thought.
It's like Winston Churchill said that some men from time to time stumble over the truth, but they usually pick themselves up, dust them off, and hurry along as if nothing ever happened. Something to that effect, anyway. Now, the New Testament is especially a light that shines in a dark place to elucidate God's truth and make it plain to be understood. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. So the Bible in general is a lamp and a light. But think about the Old Testament. Here's an analogy. Think about the Old Testament as one of those mini mag lights. Remember the mini mag lights? And, you know, you can kind of see where you're going. Think about the New Testament as a surefire
LED,
whatever, that's got, you know, 500 lumens or something, where you turn that thing on, it'll pretty much, you know, blow your optical nerves out. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the mini mag light where the batteries are almost dead, and you can kind of see where you're going, but, you know, it's just, you're just seeing shadows and things like that. You can get along. The New Testament is the surefire. I mean, that thing, you're going to be able to see for 500 yards in front of you, and probably that distance to the right and the left of you as well. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So he says that, he goes on to say that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But then he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. So we had prophecy in the old time that the prophets spoke, but he says, we, the New Testament apostles, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We've got the surefire. They had the maglight, right? In other words. And Jesus said that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and were not able to see them, and to hear the things which ye hear and were not able to hear them. So we see and hear things that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Haggai, Amos, Obadiah, Ezekiel, Abraham, Moses, Noah, Adam, you name it. We see things, Solomon, wisest guy that ever lived, David, we see things that none of those guys ever saw except through shadows. They saw shadows. What they saw was as if you shined a light on somebody and they saw the shadow cast on the wall, and they can kind of see the outline of the guy. But you can't see a guy's facial features. You wouldn't know what a guy looks like by looking at his shadow. You kind of see how big he is, maybe, and how tall he is, but you can't see what he really looks like. They saw it in shadows. We see it plainly in the New Testament. So you think about that. you literally know far more about God than all those Old Testament prophets combined. Even though they wrote it all down, it was in shadows for them. We have the completed revelation where it's revealed plainly. You know more than they did. And therefore you're held to a higher accountability than they are as well. In Proverbs 4:18, verse that I love, tells us that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. It's as if, using the old flashlight analogy again, let me read the verse first, Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Using the flashlight analogy, you carry the flashlight with you. And even if you only have a little mag light and it shines 10 feet in front of you, as you continue to walk, it shines 10 more feet in front of you. That's why it's important to carry the Word of God with you in your heart, because it will illuminate your path as you go through life. If it's on the coffee table at home, it's not going to be a whole lot of good to you. If you took a mag light and you left it, you're going hunting, and you took the mag light and you aimed it back in the woods where you want to go, you left it on the roof of the car, and then you start walking, you're not going to be able to see very far, are you? But if you carry it with you, the light is more and more under the perfect day, right? That's what the scripture is to us. It just continues to illuminate our path as we go through life. We keep learning more and more. And then the second half of the verse, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the commandments are a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And reproof of instruction is one of the primary purposes for which the scriptures were given. Look in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. So first of all, the scripture illuminates the path. It helps us to make sense of the world. It shows us what reality really is. It shows us what God wants us to do. It tells us how to live. But then it's a double-edged sword. It tells us how to live, and then when we don't live that way, then the scripture reproves and instructs us and corrects us. So it does both. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It's like the teachers used to be. They were instructors to give light, and then they were also disciplinarians to beat the butts of the kids whenever they weren't doing what they were being taught to do or behaving themselves. Scripture is the same way. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the scripture is profitable for reproof and for instruction. And that's exactly what Solomon says here. The commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction obviously are coming from the law and the commandment. A reproof is a censure, rebuke, reprimand, reprehension. And instruction is the action of instructing or teaching, the imparting of knowledge or skill, education or information. So the scripture both gives us instruction telling us what to do, and then it also gives us reproof and rebuke whenever we don't do what it tells us what to do.
Isn't the word instruction, it seems to me that sometimes in the Proverbs it has the It is meaning reproof. Like, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. It almost sounds to me sometimes like, in that instance, instruction is more like reproof or rebuke. So that can be, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay. Yep, certainly. Yeah, I was just thinking about that for a second. Yeah, yes, definitely. So pastors are commanded to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2, just down a few verses. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, when I say pastors are commanded to, yeah, all pastors are commanded to, very few actually do. When you go to most churches, you are not going to hear reproof or exhortation or any rebuke or any such thing like that. You're going to hear what a wonderful person you are and how you can have God's best for your life now. And, you know, a bunch of nice, cute little analogies and illustrations and cute sayings and that kind of thing.
Rainbows and flowers.
Yes. It's like Sunday school. It's like children's church for adults, basically, is what it comes down to for the most part. So reproofs of instruction are the way of life. See, life in the real world is accompanied by reproofs of instruction. If you turn with me to Proverbs 10 and verse 17, he that hears and keeps instruction is in the way of life, we're told. Now, this is why it is a disservice to children if they grow up without the reproofs of instruction. Because if parents think that, I mean, there are some parents out there that, and I forget what this kind of parenting is called, it's insane, that you just basically let your kids do whatever they want and develop their natural goodness and their natural traits and you know, yeah. Yeah, just basically let them, you know, you probably wouldn't want to let them, you know, stick their hand in the stove or something like that. But other than that, you pretty much just let them figure out life on their own, and you can be there to guide them. And if they ask any questions, you can help them out. And there are actually schools that teach like this. There's one in New York I heard a podcast about one time. It's absurd where the kids go there and it is child directed. And the adults are just there to make sure that nobody kills anybody else, basically. I mean, that's about it. And the children just, they do whatever they want all day. And if they want to learn about math, then they ask somebody to teach me some math. And if they want to play video games, they play video games. They do whatever they want. And this is a thing out there. But letting children grow up without the reproof of instruction is a severe disservice. Because reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Because when they get in the real world, their boss is not going to coddle them like their stupid parents did. Their boss is going to say, do this and do it now. And if they don't do it, they're fired. They're going to get reproofs of instruction. But they're going to be some kids are going to be totally unprepared for the real world because they've been taught their whole lives that the world revolves around them and it's all about them and everybody should be waiting on them hand and foot. And anything bad that happens to them, somebody's going to be there to take care of them and bail them out. And they're going to have a hard life waiting for them.
It blows my mind sometimes how many adults think that.
Well, they do because they were raised that way,
yeah,
probably.
I can't tell you how many people come in that just seem to think the whole world revolves around them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, right.
It doesn't?
It's like the old saying goes that a lack of planning on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on mine. Mm-hmm. You probably heard that one before. So Proverbs 10 and verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. So reproofs of instruction are the way of life, and you are in the way of life if you keep instruction. You are heading on the path of life. You are doing things that are going to foster life, as opposed to sickness or death or harm or injury or things like that. And wise men will hear the reproof of life. Proverbs 15 and verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. It's just interesting here, these different verses that talk about instruction and reproof, and they attach it to of life. Like this is just part of life. And if you hear the reproof of life, you are among the wise. And if you reject the reproof of life, you're among the fools and you're going to suffer for it because, you know, there are natural consequences to bad decisions, right? And that's going to happen to people that refuse reproof. And it tells us in Proverbs 15 and verse 5 that that he that regards reproof is prudent, which is very similar to wise. It's slightly different than wise, but it's very similar. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. But on the other hand, those that despise and refuse reproof and instruction are stupid fools. And I'm not the one that said it. The Bible said it. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. So you find a guy that refuses and despises reproof. Somebody reproves him and he just rolls his eyes like, oh, that guy, you know, what's he know? I'm going to show you a fool. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you despise wisdom and instruction, you may just get the fear of the Lord put into you, because you're going to come right up against reality, and all of a sudden, it's going to hurt. And then you're going to be crying to the God that you should have been paying attention to. Proverbs 12 and verse 1.
Or a heart fretting against the Lord.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, you're either going to fear him or complain to him, and after you complain to him, then you'll fear him once he beats you a little harder. Yes. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brutish is like a beast. Stupid, in other words, right? Human beings have rational capability. Beasts don't. Beasts don't have, they're not culpable for their actions because they just don't have rational minds, right? They can't think through things. Like that squirrel that chewed through my fiber optic cable. He doesn't have a rational mind, and therefore he can't be punished the way that, you know, an adult that chewed through my line would have been punished, right? Because he's a brute beast. He would have been punished if I didn't live in an apartment within city limits. He would have been punished capitally. But Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. We already read that verse before. I was looking at the second part of it. This one I'm looking at the first part. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. You show me a child that thinks his dad's stupid and doesn't want to pay attention to what his dad says, and I'm going to show you a child that's a fool. Because chances are, his dad is not stupid. Even if his dad's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, he's a lot smarter than that kid is, and that kid is a fool for not listening. Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And this is the command to the person that would impart the reproofs of instruction to don't bother. If you find a guy that despises the wisdom of thy words, don't bother. Don't waste your breath. Those who will not hear reproof are called scorners. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Scorner is one that scoffs, right? That they hear the reproof and they're like, roll their eyes. Yes. What's this guy know? He didn't know anything. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And if he doesn't hear his earthly father's rebuke, he's going to hear his heavenly father's rebuke eventually. And God's got a bigger rod than dad does, so it's probably a good idea to listen to dad's reproof before you hear that, Braden. Listen to dad's reproof. When dad tells you to do something, you listen to dad. Right? Because if you don't, God's going to get the spanking rod out and start going after you. Yep. What verse was I on?
15:32.
15, there we go. Yeah. Those that refuse instruction hate themselves. And I know I've made this point before. Proverbs 15 and verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And the reason he hates his own soul is because by refusing the reproof or the instruction, then he's doing something that's ultimately going to harm himself. So therefore, what would you say a person that intentionally harms themselves, how do they feel towards themselves if they would intentionally harm themselves? You'd say that guy hates himself, right? And that makes sense then. You reject the instruction, you hate yourself. And they will be impoverished and ashamed. Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So there are natural consequences to not heeding God's instruction. And they that refuse reproof are not in the way of life, but rather in the way of death. Because remember, it says reproofs of instruction are the way of life, but if you refuse the reproof, you're not in the way of life, but in the way of death. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. That's not the way of life. That's the opposite. So if you are a person who hates reproof and doesn't think it should be part of life, you're not living in reality, because reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And there are a lot of people out there like that, that they just don't think that reproof should be part of life. They don't like being told what to do. They don't like being told when they're wrong. They don't like being corrected. There are some people that just really hate that, and they are not living in reality. They haven't figured out yet that the way of life is through reproofs of instruction. And most of the time, people like that have to learn the hard way. They have to be fired from a couple of jobs before they finally realize that reproofs of instruction are the way of life, and they better make their peace with it, because the world is not going to bow and kowtow to their desires and wishes. The world just doesn't work that way. So if we tie both of these parts of this verse together, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, we see that when we put these together, the scriptures preached by men of God are used to reprove sinners and expose their sin, as light exposes things that are hidden in darkness. And this verse here will kind of tie this together. Hosea 6 and verse 5. Hosea 6 and verse 5. The Lord says, "Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as light that goeth forth." You see, the word, his judgments, which is his law, which is his word, is as light that goes forth. And what does that light do? It hews them. It slays them. Right? It is the reproof of instruction, and it's also light. So think of the scripture, the light of scripture, like a lightsaber in the hand of the pastor. You know, like lightsaber with Star Wars, whatever, right? The scripture is like a lightsaber. It is the sword of the Spirit that slices and dices and cuts to the quick. And be thankful for it, because whenever you can feel the pricks and the slices, that means that you still have feeling. You're not past feeling, right? You haven't seared your conscience with a hot iron yet. You can still feel the reproofs. And that takes care of Proverbs 6:23.